Hurry into Menards right now and save big money. Miracle-Gro raised bed soil helps you grow bigger, more bountiful plants. It provides the right foundation your plants need to thrive with a 100% organic formula that requires no mixing. Add Miracle-Gro raised bed soil to help your plants grow with organic nutrients you can count on. Visit our garden center or check out our weekly flyer on Menards.com for more great deals happening now.
Save big money at Menards.
You're listening to The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
Welcome back here on ESPN 97.5. 713-780-3776. This that list, Dell, that you were talking about, most overpaid and underpaid? Marcus Williams of the Saints, they got as the most underpaid safety. Isn't he the one that took the dive on Stephon Diggs' touchdown?
That would be correct.
Yeah. I don't think Saints fans are ever going to say he's underpaid after that.
That's the first thing that comes to mind is right now that's what he's known for. He's a good safety, though.
Yeah, well.
But he's known as the guy who took away a possible Super Bowl from Drew Brees.
Right, right. Darius Leonard is on this list, is underpaid. T.J. Watt.
Darius, because he's a rookie, I guess, but most rookies are going to be underpaid, I would think.
Well, he's on his rookie deal, and he's making all those tackles.
Yeah, he wasn't as good last year. Last year, he had a little he fell back down to earth a little bit. T.J. Watt, though. Man, T.J. Watt's pretty serious. This guy is really – I missed on T.J. Watt. I thought he'd be a solid player. T.J. Watt is going to turn into one of the best defensive – it looks like one of the better defensive edge players in all of football. He's a good player.
Yep. Nick Bosa's on this list.
Yep.
Good player.
Rookie contract. What are you going to do?
Yeah, this is all rookie contracts. Eric McCoy from A&M on this list. Yeah, no Texans made the list of under or overpaid. George Kittle, what a bargain that dude is.
Holy no crap. Texans made the list of underpaid, that's for sure.
No. And not overpaid either. Okay?
Okay.
Jeremy Tunsil didn't make the list, buddy.
Hey, Dell, did you see those pictures of Tunsil, the fashionista? John thought that was...
It's not true.
John thought that was... it's on his Instagram page.
Why wouldn't it be true? Because he's a bigger guy, he wouldn't want to be in the fashion?
Yeah.
No.
I kind of like my offensive lineman that, like, you know, I want him to be in sweats and eating burgers. What?
No, Laramie Tunsil isn't that type of offensive lineman.
Laramie has a hand purse, like a handbag.
He's not a big ugly. That dude is fashionable.
Laramie shops the same place as Wendy shops.
Oh, probably.
Probably. Did you see that purse he was carrying?
Hey, he's got to spend that $22 million annually somewhere.
Yeah, you can't just let it sit there in a
sweats.
Bank. No. No.
Look, he's the highest player on the team. He's not going to be dressed down.
Yeah. Well, you better get it in while you can, because Deshaun Watson's getting ready to double you up.
And he'll just be the second highest paid player on the team. Still got to make statements.
Why you got to make statements? Just dress. Just put some sweats on.
Look,
T-shirt.
If he had, do you think if he just wore sweats, he false start less? I don't know if that's a correlation. So
I don't care. I don't care, as long as he blocks people.
Exactly.
You know what? False start all you want.
He blocks people, exactly. So what do you care what he dresses like?
On one of his fashion pages on Instagram, somebody goes, their comment was just, false start number 70, what's his number?
78?
Yeah. False start 78, 5 yards. No, I'm just kidding, big dog. You keep killing it. Like, oh, you had to throw the false start comment in on his Instagram page.
It's not really fair. He was being targeted. So
offensive line people believe that Laramie Tunsil is one of the top four tackles in the league. They don't think he's the best. Now, he's getting paid like the best. I don't know who they consider to be the best. But Tunsil, I graded Tunsil very high when he came out. We know he fell because of the bong hit thing that dropped literally on draft day. Did y'all notice we didn't have one of those? We had one on Josh Allen a couple of years ago. We didn't have any late stuff pop up that somebody that, that Twitter investigators had been holding until the draft. We didn't see that this year.
No. Listen, I think the coaches, I think, kind of liked the way that the draft went out of their houses virtually.
They did.
I wouldn't be surprised if, well, it's not going to change.
It's not going to change because there's too much. Because look,
yeah, there's just too much.
It is. I mean, realistically, if you can be around other people, then you're going to be around other people. But if we're still in the middle of, you know, if it is, God forbid, we don't have a an absolute cure on this thing by next draft, which is next spring, which is typically the season where the pandemic or, you know, the you have a flu season. I'm not sure why you wouldn't have a coronavirus season. If that happens, you could see them doing it the same way all over again next year, if that is the case.
Yep.
Or at least elements of it, you know.
Well, I don't even know that anybody's going to care about it because it looks like Vince is putting the XFL back together. What? He's buying it back at a discounted rate.
What a good dude.
He is a great guy. So everybody's going to get screwed out of all their bills.
Hey, what about my payment? Too bad.
Well, he's going to try to give some back to season ticket holders because that's who you do.
What about Football Island? Is they going to have a football island?
They could have a football island.
Where you could play football on an island?
Maybe. And guess who's going to live there? This guy. That's right. Here come our guys. The Roughnecks.
They're not our guys anymore.
Yeah, they are.
Not Houston Roughnecks if they play on an island.
Well, by the way, if he doesn't pay off all the – he's got to get all new coaches, all new players because they didn't
– Did they not get paid either?
I don't know how that works.
Oh, that's heartbreaking. Did coaches not get paid?
Coaches – no, a lot of coaches. Didn't you see what he owed? He owed Stoops like $1 million.
Oh, that's right. I forgot. Golly. Yeah. Who is going to go in for that again? Like, you know what? I feel like this time he's going to do it right.
Well, it wasn't his fault there was a pandemic.
Well, the way he handled it wasn't great.
Nice job, Vince. Nice job, Vince.
Did Vince send you a pizza, too?
He was paying.
Oh, that's my team, pal. Yeah. I get paid.
I'm not questioning it. I know what the deal is.
The team doesn't exist.
The team does exist. Okay, I got my hat to prove it. I just bought a hat.
Does June Jones think the team exists?
I'm pretty sure. Pretty sure it's called the McMahon virus. I think he started it to get out of paying his debts.
It's the China virus.
Are we sure? I thought it was the McMahon virus.
No, it's the China virus, and Vince had nothing to do with it.
I don't know about that. Not the way Lance is talking.
Oh, he's a victim here. He's a victim.
He's a victim.
And then he started to victimize.
Oliver Luck's like, hey, John, I thought we were boys.
Not if we got the league back.
They say hurt people, and Vince was like, I'm hurt by this. I'm going to start hurting people.
Mm-hmm. You know what he did? He didn't turn the other cheek. He touched
hurt people hurt. I've never heard that
You've
before.
You've never heard that before?
Hurt people hurt
yeah,
people?
Yeah, it's in a more serious connotation, like people who get abused.
Right. I've never heard that before.
Yeah, hurt
though.
People hurt people. Now Vince is like, time for me to hurt some people because I'm hurt.
Well, okay, what is Vince? I mean, he's a fighter. That's my guy. He's a fighter.
That's your guy? He you want to say that? Vince is your
guy? You said it out loud with Oliver Luck listening to the show?
You know, that's Oliver's one of your guys. I thought Oliver was your guy.
Not anymore.
Man, unloyal. You
Oliver is my guy.
What would
They're
Horace Grant call
They're
John?
Both, well, listen, I was all about Oliver till I saw this morning Vince is trying to get the band back together.
Man.
Guess what?
Horace Grant would have words for you. That pastor.
Horace Grant, the snitch?
Michael Jordan, the snitch, from what I was told.
Yeah.
Horace Grant.
My appreciation for this doc raises every time another player is like, man, F Michael Jordan. I appreciate Horace Grant. The best part of it is the fans have got a bigger appreciation or greater appreciation for Jordan. His ex-teammates are like, man, F that guy.
Now they're all getting outed. Now, the ex-teammate Scottie Pippen didn't like it. Horace Grant didn't like it. You know why? Because they all are getting out of, like, everyone's taking shots. And I'm like, how are y'all so damn soft to let Jordan just talk to you like that? He didn't talk to me like that. When he took my food away, I demanded it back.
Well, he did. He said he stood up to him.
Yeah.
And they got into it.
Okay, well, you know what? Until somebody hands a giant iPad to Michael Jordan and lets him see that, and I get to see his reaction. I can't believe it.
Laugh.
I can't believe it.
What about the pizza employee who was like, Man, that story about getting food poisoned.
Oh, dude, that guy's pissed off.
Yeah, he's like, we didn't poison
that
dude.
He's like, that was a well-made pizza. I don't know what he's talking about.
I delivered it. I'm a Bulls fan. I was rooting for them. I bet on them. Screw you.
He named his kid after Jordan.
He was like, screw you. No one poisoned you. That whole story was nonsense from the start.
Jordan was clearly sick. It could have been a 24-hour virus.
I'm not questioning whether he was sick. I think it came from the pizza.
The food thing.
Well,
it could have come from
the pizza, and the guy didn't know it. When I had food poisoning, they didn't know that the food was bad.
I don't buy it.
Yeah, no. He could have definitely had food poisoning, but the idea that somebody could have poisoned food, when you start working, we already know the LeBradford Smith stuff wasn't true. We know we found that out. That Jordan made up things and then could convince himself that they were true, which is also what people on Facebook do about stuff. But so we know it's a real thing.
He's a sociopath.
Jordan does have some of those tendencies.
He's a sociopath.
Yes.
We know that. He's not stable.
No. It's what makes him great is he's not normal. He's like a robot that has he's like a Westworld robot that has some type of killing tendencies.
He's Dolores.
Metaphorically. Yeah.
Or Maeve, whatever you want to call him.
More Dolores. He's pretty heartless. Jordan is pretty heartless. There's really nothing like Scottie Pippen. Hey, Mike, I'm only making $78 a game. Do you think maybe you could go to management and say something? You signed the contract. I mean, I've got my contract. You signed yours. Look. You need to play to your contract. Well, I think I'm going to hold out to get more money. Wow. Wow. You don't love your team and you don't love this sport.
Look, Teddy. Look, I know you die every time, but this is how it is. Teddy, my name's Mike. My name's Scotty. No, you're Teddy. Teddy, you're going to die here just like you die all the time. No, I'm actually Scotty. Stop calling me Teddy.
I know. It's
Dolores.
Jordan gave – that was the first thing that said that to me is like, whoo, Jordan didn't care what Pippen's deal. Hey, you signed a contract. You play by your crappy contract, Scotty.
That's right. That's right.
Man, Michael Jordan.
Don't get another man's business.
Michael Jordan was.
I'll tell you what, Scotty ended up looking bad in this deal. Somebody.
Well, Scotty's own words were. I mean, Scotty, then don't look bad with those gray roots.
Well, not only that,
but. Not his aesthetics.
Oh, I thought he meant the gray roots. Okay.
No, he looked bad. He looked bad in this thing. You know, we talk about this generation and how soft they are. Scotty not going in with 1.8 seconds left. If that happened now. What would everybody say? Well, this soft-ass generation.
Oh, my God. Can you imagine? You know? And Scotty's move was a petulant move. Do you remember how it was looked at, though, John? That was a major, major. Jordan said, I could not believe what I was seeing when I saw this. Jordan wasn't on the team at that time.
No, he said that'll never leave him. And it won't. It'll never leave him. And Jordan put – now, you notice how Jordan put that in there.
But you had to if you're going to cover the seat. That was a major storyline.
Yeah. No, it absolutely was.
Scotty's like, 14. Wait a minute. The Rockets don't get mentioned in this doc, and they want a title when you're gone, but my thing gets mentioned. Look, I'm going to, man, we all know Jordan's not a good guy.
What about you throwing the ball in Bushler's face?
Nah,
what about you not letting Horace eat on a plane? Well, where's all that, Mike?
Well, that got put in, right?
Well, no.
No.
That didn't even get put in.
That was an offshoot of the
put in.
Yeah, no, that was another story that came out that somebody else told. Yeah, Jordan didn't put that in.
No.
He put the Steve Kerr stuff in.
Yep. Well, Steve Kerr came off.
But it was also in Jordan rules, too, so it was public knowledge.
Yeah.
That's what I was saying. Jordan didn't make – look, let's just be real. Jordan didn't make a lot of things public that weren't already public.
No, right. Right. No, nothing. 814 ESPN 97.
Oh, when we come back, we got to talk about Alex Bregman.
Well, no. Breggers. I call him Breggers.
Bregman's another guy who has a list. Like, Jordan has a list. Oh, Bregman has a list.
Mm-hmm. You made the list, buddy.
Somebody made the list yesterday.
ESPN 97.5.
I'm in love with the cocoa. I'm in love with the cocoa. I got it for the Lolo.
You're listening to The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
All right, welcome back here on ESPN 97.5. 713-780-3776. This is incorrect, Aaron. I just looked up food poisoning. And, well, actually, I like this. I want to, from now on, I'm always going to be well, actually. Well, actually. Dimitri says, my wife was a doctor watching the pizza scene in The Last Dance. This trainer's a moron. If he studied the human body at all, he should know food poisoning doesn't move that fast. He should have asked Mike what he ate the day before because the pizza is innocent. Well, I got mine just hours after, and it says here in the medical dictionary that it could happen within days, but it could also happen between a few hours and several weeks later. So it could have been a few hours later. Mine kicked in just a couple hours later.
Throughout all these stories, has anyone said that you guys have talked to or even having a discussion with about The Last Dance that they had food poisoning from pizza before? I'm just trying to see how likely it would be for that to happen. Have you ever met anyone got food poisoning from pizza?
Honestly, I have not because they get cooked in ovens. I mean, here's the problem. You use ovens that, I mean, even at home you use them in the 400s, and a lot of pizza places get them up to 700. That's going to eradicate.
That's what I brought up before. So I'm trying to figure, that was why, as a former pizza employee,
You've tried to get people
sick before? I've
never
tried, no.
Like, have you thought about it because somebody got a little lippy on the phone?
No, I was a delivery driver. I didn't deal much with customers in store. But even the thought of keep holding something back to get someone sick just doesn't have those things usually work. I know Utah. But even the fact that it came up that it was a Pizza Hut, so it was a chain place, not some individual place that maybe could get away with that type of thing, they have kind of standards about how they store their stuff. So I never bought it, particularly because an oven that hot, it's going to burn off all that crap.
Most
of it.
Unless Jordan had, like, what about chicken wings or maybe a salad? Maybe he had a salad.
Did we hear about a salad or chicken wings?
Maybe he had some salad. Because you can get it in salad. We've seen stuff transferred in salad. Remember they yanked all the salad, like a lot of a certain type of lettuce. Was it romaine? Or I can't remember the lettuce that got yanked off the shelf last year. So maybe he got it from a bad olive.
But then a Kalamata olive? But he did not mention
so. No. Do not besmirch Kalamata olive.
It wouldn't be about the olive. It would be about the storing of the olive.
You're right about the pizzas, though. That's not realistic. But he could have had food poisoning. Maybe it just wasn't the pizza. He's sitting there focusing on the pizza, and it was some kind of – and they're like, what did you have for lunch? I don't know. We had some oysters. Big deal.
Yeah, why are you bringing that up?
We had like a dozen oysters on a half shell. Who cares?
I was a Utah fan trying to poison me.
It's this pizza that got us. Like, Mr. Jordan, oysters are a potential. This could be your culprit. We had oysters and some sushi. What?
Utah sushi?
And then we had some Utah sushi.
Was it at the Sushi Emporium?
We had some sushi at the airport in Chicago, and then we went and had pizza in Utah, and yes, the 700-degree oven gave us food poisoning.
That's all I'm saying.
Who's us? Who have you?
Who have you met who's gotten food poisoning from pizza?
No, I really haven't. The more you mention, yeah, you're right. Because that's one of the reasons that food delivery or food services are supposedly kind of safer during the coronavirus is because of the heat that's used for it.
Guys, if they use bad meat, okay, how many people do you think got sick from Joe Exotic Pizza? If they use bad meat on the
Pizza Hut,
you could get food poisoning.
Then Pizza Hut is serving a lot of people. A lot of people that got food poisoning that night, right?
Yep.
It's Pizza Hut. It's not like it wasn't some hole-in-the-wall place.
Or
unless you say, give me the special meat.
Give me the Walmart meat.
Planted it.
Michael's, that whole story's a lie.
Well, he was sick somehow. We don't know what it
is. I'm not disputing that. I'm disputing the whole pizza
so
story.
So Horace Grant, okay. Let me get to Bregman in a second, but in a radio interview with Cap and Company, ESPN 1000 Chicago, Grant said, quote, it's a
sound.
Downright out. Do you have the audio?
Yes.
Okay, here it is right here. Here's Horace Grant.
That is a downright, outright, completely lie. Lie, lie, lie. And as I stated, if MJ had a grudge with me, let's tell it like, man, let's talk about it. Or we can settle it another way. But yet and still, he goes out and put this lie out that I was the source behind. My point is that he said I was a snitch. But yet and still, after 30 or 35 years, he brings up one of his teammates' room, which one of the teammates' room, and saying coke and weed and women. What's that got to do with anything? If you want to call somebody a snitch, that's a damn snitch right there.
He ain't necessarily telling a falsehood.
Mm-mm. Mm-mm.
I mean, I thought it was an interest. I thought it did paint a picture of, of what the league was like when Jordan came in, and he was just drinking Sprite and orange juice. We found out Michael Jordan does not drink alcohol, and also that Michael Jordan
started at some point. He started at some point.
I don't feel it. I think. Do we know that that wasn't orange juice next to him?
Mm. You see his eyes? Mike likes that. No, Mike likes to throw down. There's no question about it. And he likes to throw down some good liquor.
That wasn't on the documentary, except right there Craig every time Hodges he talked.
Craig Hodges was pissed. He said, I'm watching it with my 14-year-old, and my 14-year-old looks at me like, Dad, what's going on
with
you?
I thought you
team?
Played with Jordan, Dad.
Yeah.
Nope.
Well, no. Dad, you got coke and women in the room, Dad? Oh, no, son. We didn't have any coke and women in the room.
Is that what Hodges said?
Yeah. Yeah. He was pissed.
Jordan did. Jordan went out and snitched.
No.
Admit
that,
it, John.
That is a good. I bet a lot of guys on that team, that original team, are like, what the bleep, Mike? What are you doing? What you talking about, Mike?
Did you notice how Orlando Woolridge wasn't even mentioned? And he was like the best player when Jordan got on with the Bulls. And supposedly he had an issue with Jordan. Like, I'm surprised that he didn't put Orlando Woolridge on blast.
Maybe he doesn't speak ill of the dead. Although I'd be surprised if Michael wouldn't speak ill of the
dead. Oh, was Woolridge dead?
Yeah, he died in 2012.
Okay.
Did you guys talk about yesterday? We found out Carmelo and Russell refused to sit down for the interviews.
No, I did not see that.
Yeah, that came out yesterday. Those two were like, I don't want to be part of that. No, I'm good.
No.
So that's why you didn't hear from Carmelo.
So we're getting some fallout. Now that the documentary's over, we're getting some fallout. Because everyone was afraid that, man, if I say something now, Jordan could put some new stuff in a doc. He may have a special insert.
Cody says, I'm on episode 8. I'm not impressed. I thought we'd learn some new stuff. There's no moments yet. I guess not. It's not like Joe Exotic where there's twists and turns every, you know, and now all of a sudden now, I mean, Carol murdered her husband and what? So, no, there's none of that in the documentary. It's just a good behind-the-scenes look, although it's behind the scenes Mike wanted you to see. That's it.
I don't think there's nothing that shocked me. It was just seeing it with footage. You heard about some stuff, seeing it with footage, having context. Now, you know, Jordan still came off as petty. We know that. That none of this is – Jordan had a Hall of Fame induction ceremony and a speech. That was on full display. So this is not – that's not a surprise. Horace does have a point, though. For Jordan to put it out there as fact that he was the source behind the book, now maybe Horace is not right. Maybe Horace is trying to cover his own tracks. Who knows? But if that wasn't on Horace, how pissed would you be if you were just outed as the snitch who put all Jordan's stuff on blast, which you remember, John, you were in Chicago. That was a big deal when that – well, I think you – I don't know if you were in Chicago then.
No, I was out of Chicago.
Okay, but that was a really, really big deal in Chicago and across the nation as Jordan's cultivated image took a little hit at that point.
Oh, yeah. No, it's a huge story. Huge, huge, huge.
And that was when it was very well defined. The good guys and bad guys or – you know, there wasn't this professional wrestling where Stone Cold Steve Austin and The Rock became – you know, those are the first guys that I remember having this – there was this – wait, are they good guys or are they bad guys? Is it a good guy with an edge? You were either the white hat, black hat type where it was you're either the good guy or the bad guy. And for Jordan, cultivating this good guy image, that was the first time that we saw some real true edge about Michael Jordan. And that was not something that you know, that was marketable back then. Not at all.
No, it was a different time. Now, whatever. Although we still see you know what? One of the first things I think of is Jadeveon Clowney at a craps table. When I think of Jadeveon Clowney instead of playing, you know, being ready and there for his team when he's injured, he's at the craps table. You know what? And you still have a judgmental issue with it. And Mike, you know, playing, being at the casino all night or whatever really happened, whatever.
He just made it sound like he goes, we just went there in the afternoon, me and my dad, and we went.
I was home by midnight.
Some craps. I was home by midnight. And Phil's story was like, what? What's a big deal? He went at about 4:30, you know, got in, late and like, wait a minute. Wait, what time did you say you went, Phil? Because Jordan's timeline was a little bit different. You know how it was. Michael Jordan stayed out late gambling. He wasn't home by midnight. Why is Michael going to tell the truth on that one? We went at like 1:30.
And so it cost us a game. Don't worry. Michael Bale is out.
Yeah.
No biggie. Mike Bale, you know what? Mike said, you know what? Oh, well, messed up. Let's go. We'll get out. Don't worry. I'll take care of that.
So Jadeveon was throwing dice whenever the Texans were playing San Francisco in a preseason game. Big deal. It's preseason. What I want to know is, was he hitting his point? Was he playing points? Did he have odds behind his pass line? Was he playing no pass line on other people's roles? These are things I need to know.
Did he play the Yo 11 line?
Did he ever? Yes, he played C and E.
Yeah.
$5, $10 C&E. Yes, he probably played the C&E.
I'm guessing he played more than $5, $10 C&E.
Yeah, my guess is you're probably right about that, too. So I didn't get to Alex Bregman. I will, when we come back, I will get to Alex Bregman. Bregman is another guy who puts together lists. Like, AJ's made the list, and he may still be on the list, AJ Hoffman. Yeah. But Alex Bregman is also on Team Petty to an extent, and he holds grudges, and those grudges push him and drive him. Well, he had a little grudge and handled it yesterday, and we'll tell you what it was when we come back. It's 8:28 right here on ESPN 97.5.
And I got to tell you about Champion Energy right now. Look, if you're looking for the best way to get electricity. Electricity, that just sucks. You got to have it, right? You got to have air conditioning. You got to have your lights. You got to have it. And it's a bill you got to pay. Pay less. Pay less. What's the difference? Where it comes from? It's all the same electricity. But you want to pay less. That's what you want to do. So go with my guys. Champion.energy/1560. Champion.energy/1560. You want to save money every month? And money's kind of a big deal, isn't it, right now? Okay. Before, you were kind of lazy. You're just saying, whatevs. I'll just pay this. That's all right. No, not anymore. Time to save some money. Champion.energy/1560.
Stay up to date with the latest innovations hitting the city of Houston by visiting innovationmap.com or follow them on any of your social media platforms. Just search Innovation Map. You're listening to The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
All right, welcome back. Alex Bregman fired his agent yesterday. So the agent just moved over to LeBron's agency. And Bregman said, what? No, what now? Oh, you're going to put together a doc on our team, LeBron? Watch this. Fired. You ain't getting my money. You ain't using my money to make a documentary about us cheating.
Ooh, I got bad news.
What?
This is not going to sit well with you. But that when you sign a contract, which Alex Bregman did, which that's the other thing he's pissed off about supposedly, is that he signed an extension worth $20 million a year, and he feels like he may have been pressured into it and left a lot of money on the table. Supposedly he's not happy about this long-term deal with the Astros. And this money that he signed for, once you're an agent and you negotiate a contract and they sign, for the duration of that contract, you're paying your fees to that agent. So that agent will be getting that money for the rest of that contract.
He won't be representing them after that.
He won't be representing them, won't be able to get marketing deals or any of that, but that money's coming in, and LeBron is going to take baths with it.
So,
with Alex Bregman's money.
So he's getting paid through 2024.
Yep.
Okay.
Even when you fire agents, when they've negotiated it, it's their money, so he'll have to keep paying them.
Right. Well, so he went his... He wouldn't have become a free agent. So he got paid. Let's see. He signed the extension after 18, right? Or was it after 17?
No. It was after 18.
It was after 18. He got a signing bonus of $10 million when he signed that.
Mm-hmm.
And he got 6 years through 2024. No, let's see. No. through 2024. Yeah, he signed through 2024 at 11-11-11, 28-5, 28-5. He possibly see he passed all his arbitration years. He passed up all his arbitration years for that extension. He's actually only got two extra years on the deal. And he's getting 28-5 for both of those years, which may be losing him some money. And actually, I don't know, he was second in MVP. He might have wanted to go through arbitration. But he guaranteed himself 11-11-11.
Do you think there's any thought that he's unhappy with the organization or unhappy being in Houston as an Astro? I would hope not. He fired him. Suppose at the crux of the matter is that he feels like he was blindsided when this agency was partnered with or was purchased by the Clutch Sports Agency, mm-hmm. Clutch with a K. And so now he is under that umbrella, and LeBron is getting ready to do a documentary or the Uninterrupted or Spring Hill, I don't know, one of whatever wing.
Uninterrupted.
And they are going to do a documentary about this. Well, we know, John, you and I talked about this on the Sports Map video yesterday. Number one, it's not going to be a documentary. It's going to be like an Outside the Lines piece or something like that. A true documentary is where you gather usually years of footage, or you have years of footage. It's highly unlikely that they have years of footage with the Astros in 2017. Do you think they're going to have behind-the-scenes footage of the Astros? It's impossible unless they're getting it from a former player who always had a camera rolling, and that's just impossible. So it's not going to be a documentary. It's going to be like an E60 where they do or a long-form or maybe even regular-form piece like you'd see on Bryant Gumbel. Right, where they
yes.
will interview former players or interview players from other teams, more than likely other teams. So this is not a I don't even like calling it a documentary because it's not a documentary documents what happens. It doesn't really create opinions. You just simply relay the information that you've gathered and you let the viewer create their own. Well, this is going to have a very sharp narrative on it. It's already laid it out what they're going to do.
Greed. Cheating.
Greed, cheating, social activism with Twitter. Like, we have enough of these a-holes who, look, I don't, John Boy, you can think what you want about him, but John Boy was industrious, and he went out and, like, hustled to go take information that was provided by a pitcher with the White Sox. He took that information from an Athletic interview and went and hustled up and watched a bunch of videos in the Major League Baseball archive and went and found stuff and made himself, you know, kind of popular at that particular time and really actually forced Major League Baseball's hand, I think, without question. So you can think what you want to about him, but he actually went and was putting some stuff together. This whole thing makes me a little bit uncomfortable with the narratives that they say they're going to set because it's not it is going to be a hit piece. We know that without question. And that's why Alex Bregman said, all right, I'm out. Yeah, I'm not going to stay with a group that is going to be doing this. And unfortunately for the Astros, it's going to be met with a very negative reaction when people see it because it's going to reopen the wound. If you thought you were going to lessen the impact by having a pandemic, this will reopen that wound fresh for people.
Yep.
Now, here's my question, John. Who's cooperating? Is Mike Fiers? I would not think Mike Fiers would cooperate. I don't think he would after this.
No, you know what they're going to get? They're going to get baseball writer. They're going to get
L.A. Dodger.
Lawyer. They're going to show clips of Bellinger bitching about it. They're going to show clips of the Astros explaining it. They're going to show clips of Jim Crane bumbling through that apology at the training facility. It's going to look terrible. They're going to make them look terrible. But they're not going to have, no. It's not going to be some, they're not going to have Jeff Luhnow explaining it behind this. They're not going to have any of that. It's going to be like an E60 piece is right. That'll be more like what it is. And you're right. It's just going to fuel that more, you know, and whenever it comes out, I don't know how long it's going to take them to produce it. Hell, it might be next year when it's the start of the baseball season, next baseball season. That's a possibility. Oh, and this is how we're going to usher in the baseball season. Look at these bad guys. They're really bad. Cheating. LeBron is going to teach us that cheating is really, really bad, everybody. See, LeBron is going to make sure that we all know that cheating isn't right. And you shouldn't cheat because then you're a bad person. See, that's what LeBron is going to teach us in this one.
Mm-hmm.
This cannot be more perfect for LeBron's holier than
thou. The virtue
yeah,
signaling?
How virtuous LeBron is.
Look, I mean, to be fair, I do think this is this is a huge scandal. I mean, the reality is this is a scandal that is the most scandalous thing because it happened with a World Series winner. It's the most scandalous thing that's happened in damn near a century. So it is a big story. I think the virtuousness, you know, the rush to put this together, just like you mentioned, John, the idea of I am more virtuous than you, it's going to rub a lot of people the wrong way.
And you know what would be even, how about taking the side of the bad guys and explaining, maybe we're all overreacting on this thing. Maybe that. Oh, wait a minute. The Red Sox, Alex Cora, are you kidding me? The guy that was in the middle of it went to the Red Sox the next year and they got found cheating, but he didn't know about it. Okay. And Beltran, wait a minute. Beltran came in and said, you guys are behind. Well, wait, what does that mean? We're behind cheating. Well, then what are the Yankees doing? How about we investigate it and try to find
who is LeBron? Who's LeBron's favorite team?
And oh, by the way,
who's LeBron's favorite team?
Where does this really rank in the pantheon of cheating in baseball history?
No one's looking for a two-sided, honest approach.
No,
people are looking for more reasons. People want to see the Astros get crushed.
Well, where do you think it ranks, John?
LeBron, as a businessman, it would make little sense to do. Hey, what about these other teams? As a business minded person, you hammer the Astros.
Oh, no. 95% of baseball fans want to be, they will enjoy this. It will feel like there's, you know, another shot at the Astros. But what I think is interesting is ESPN 22 years later is going to release, it's going to release the Sammy Sosa, Mark McGwire thing. Now, if this were a fresh wound, if this were in the middle of the Mitchell report, if this were in the middle of Game of Shadows when the two San Francisco writers that busted Barry Bonds, if this were in the middle of all that, I mean, it would be the tone of it. My guess is, I haven't seen it, so I don't know. My guess is the tone is going to be a little softened. Certainly the stances of people are not as strong about steroids anymore. You don't hear it as much, at least, even though it's still going to be an issue in a lot of sports. And so you do this 22 years later. My guess is Sammy Sosa and Mark McGwire at some stages, or at least for some people, are going to come off as more sympathetic because they get to tell their story. And now I might be wrong. Maybe it will come off different, but I don't think it will have the same vitriol. It would be interesting to see what would happen if you did this documentary in 10 years where you started following the Astros and players from 2020 on, and you started seeing what the responses were, and you got any kind of behind-the-scenes footage you could from 17, from 18, 19. But you started gathering information from the post-punishment Astros, and you started really doing a documentary. You started following what the life of Alex Bregman was like. You started following where A.J. Hinch was and talking to A.J. Hinch and what his day-to-day routine was. If you did it like a real documentary, it would be interesting to see if fans or if the vantage point didn't look different in 10 years or even 20 years. Next year or 2022, forget about it. There's only one way it can go.
Yeah. Well, I guess there's only one way. Listen, as far as the pantheon of cheating, steroids is way worse than this. Way worse. It affected so many more players, so many more lives, so many more guys were cheated out of the game because of steroids. I mean, it's the livelihoods, the money that the cheaters made because they could hit it long. I mean, the big contracts that they got, the guys who were sent to the minors or stayed in the minors because they didn't hit home, because they didn't cheat and they couldn't hit home runs. Because at that time, if you didn't hit a home run, you couldn't be in the big leagues. I mean, if you weren't a home run hitter, that's it. Every position. So those guys, that was way, way worse. Affected so many more lives. Affected baseball so much more. Affected the numbers. The home run. The home run, the most hallowed record in baseball, the home run record, was destroyed by a cheater. It's okay. That's all right. No, it's not all right. One team cheated, and you know it's arguable how much they benefited from it. That's it. And they ended up winning the World Series. The Dodgers have been cheating for years. They just suck at it. They just can't win. They suck at cheating. Dodgers, you suck anyway. Sick of this whole thing.
What about LeBron, though? Because at least he's a better person than
LeBron
you are.
LeBron sucks, too.
LeBron's a better person than you are.
That's a long list. Better people than John.
Did I say something that was not true?
I mean, but it's not like LeBron's in rarefied air.
LeBron can
John, this is not a trick question. Who's LeBron's favorite baseball team?
LeBron's favorite baseball team is the Yankees.
Correct. Yeah. Where did he grow up?
He grew up in Cleveland area.
Yeah. Who's LeBron's favorite basketball team growing up?
His favorite basketball team was the Bulls.
Who's LeBron's favorite football team?
Football team is the Cowboys.
Well, he's of that generation. What LeBron? That's not unique to LeBron.
No. He's a front runner.
Cowboy. He's the guy on Twitter bio that should say Cowboys, Bulls. Although it'd be different now, but Cowboys. But now it would be like Patriots. Or now he might have Chiefs.
Golden State.
Warriors, yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
I don't know. He might still leave it there because it's a little – the league's in flux right now, so it's maybe safest just to leave Warriors on there.
I think – I mean, people, because of what we do for a living and how we are all into sports, we think less of those people. But like, to be honest with you, would you rather be a LeBron-type fan or be rooting for Cleveland teams your entire life?
Cleveland teams. That's your team.
No.
Cleveland
they're
fans,
not your team if you don't make them your team.
Yeah, but
they're
one of the team. Cleveland teams.
No. What are you talking about? You don't root for Chicago teams anymore.
No, I root for Houston teams.
Exactly.
I'm a Houstonian.
You root for a lot of teams.
Yeah, exactly. You're not,
I do not root for a
lot
of teams.
Do you root for just the Cougars?
No.
I root for the Astros, the Rockets, and the Texans.
And
what about the Browns?
Oklahoma State.
And the Cougs.
And the Tigers.
No, LSU because of my wife. Well, what the hell? And my kid goes there. I paid money there.
Yeah.
And, yeah. Okay.
Yeah. But that is.
I would cheer against people where you
get
money.
I paid money.
That's your decision. That's your decision to make, and I don't really care one way or the other. But you've decided because of what those circumstances, you root for other teams. I don't subscribe to LeBron's thing. But you know what? I would probably have a happier life if I was a front runner.
I don't know. It's the easy way out. Hard way is having to have your nuts sucked out of your butt.
Why?
Beat at the buzzer or whatever.
The hard thing, Dell, is to root for Bill O'Brien. That's the hard thing.
Yeah, that's the hard road.
You didn't adopt.
You got to root for Bill O'Brien.
You only root for Bill O'Brien because you're already indoctrinated. You were rooting for the Texans before Bill O'Brien got there. It ain't a Bill O'Brien thing.
Yeah,
you
but we have to stay. There's nothing we can do. We're prisoners.
Take the easy way out, Dell. Just take the easy way out. Go root for the Patriots.
I don't do that, but what I have also said is I get why some people would. Why be miserable because of sports if you don't have to? We have chosen
this.
At least you
choose Dortmund. At least you choose a team that got relegated. Dell, even though he is, KJ points out, wait a minute, Dell's the age of LeBron.
But
Dell doesn't do that stuff. Dell's got like Wiggum.
I got Fulham. All I am saying is I get why people do it because, you know, those Saturdays after Miami loses to North Carolina, I would rather be an Ohio State fan, to be honest with you, because they're blowing out Rutgers.
Just switch. It's easy.
I'm not doing it because I can't. But you know what? Watching my favorite team lose to win Georgia Tech, it ain't fun. That's all I'm saying. I get why people front run because
it's
comfortable.
Sports. You stand behind your team.
I'm aware. I'm one of those people.
That's why you're not married.
No, I'm one of those people. I stand behind my team.
These hoes ain't loyal.
I stand behind my team, but I completely get why someone would be like, I don't want to root for them. They're never going to win anything.
Yeah. Well, really? Because the only reason you're a Miami fan is because they won every year.
No, the only reason I'm a Miami fan is because my dad.
No, yeah, you are LeBron.
You're still LeBron.
Hey, guess what? Bad person like LeBron.
You're worse. I'm still a Miami fan. They haven't won since 2001. I'm a Miami fan because, like most people, you do what your dad does, and he rooted for Miami.
No.
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 Okay. Yeah. Sure, no, you would know.
Just a front
Your
runner.
Dad was a Miami football
Yeah, when he
fan?
Came over, when he came over from Nigeria, that was a team he started rooting for when he started understanding American sports.
He's a front runner.
Okay, whatever. But that's how it that's how it became.
And
a thing.
You got stuck there.
Yeah, and it was good for the first 18 years of my life. It's been terrible since.
But at least you stuck with it. That's why people have said, "Why don't you just change off of Everton?" Because I can't. Because this is the path
that's
I chose,
right,
and I have to live with it.
Because you're a fan, because you grew up there in Everton.
I grew up in Liverpool.
You didn't grow up anywhere.
I grew up in Liverpool.
You didn't grow up on the Merseyside. No, you didn't.
Huh. Who's John's favorite?
He's a front runner. Definite front runner.
Where's Ronaldo? Oh, root for him.
No, I know.
You're like a LeBron fan.
You know who I root for? I root for Jeff Aronoff.
That's right. That's who I root for, Jeff Aronoff. Because you know why? Absolute marble and granite. That's my team. That's my team over there. Because you know why? They came to my house and they put in an outdoor kitchen. What? That's right. The team at Absolute Marble and Granite is the number one team as far as renovating your business or your home. Big jobs only, please. Okay? Big, big, big jobs. Jeff Aronoff does entire hotel, puts the vanities in for entire hotels. That's what he do. He puts in entire outdoor kitchens, patios, counters. He put in the bar over at the Marist. It's beautiful, beautiful. That's just good workmanship. And that's what Jeff Aronoff do every day. So if you're looking for if you're looking to renovate your business or your home right now, this is the time to call Jeff Aronoff. Get your 20% off because you're a 97.5 listener. You'll love the work he does. You'll love doing business. Absolute Marble and Granite. Give him a call, 713-880-2822. 713-880-2822. It's Absolute Marble and Granite.
To call into the HRNP listener line, dial 713-780-ESPN. Looking to outsource your company's HR and payroll? Get the top initiative and smart solutions with HRP.net. This is The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
All right, welcome back here on ESPN 97.5, 713-780-3776. Come in and talk to these two front runners. If you want to get in here, you're more than welcome to do that. Bad, bad people.
Yeah.
Some people like
the guy with six different favorite teams is talking about front runners.
No,
okay.
No. You know why there's my favorite teams? I paid money.
Moved the city. Now he's a team. Now he's a fan of a different team. Yeah, that's how normal sports fans operate. Oh, I moved, so I'm a fan of this team. That's not how normal sports fans operate. That's the dirty little secret about John. You know, well, I'm a Houstonian. It gets play here because people want their radio host to root for Houston teams, but that's not the normal sports
what
fan.
What if you were chased out of there for other unknown reasons that we can't find out?
Well, since we can't talk about him, we're just going to assume he's a traitor. That's all.
No,
I'm going to assume that he maybe was whistleblowing and helped bring down an entire racket.
That's silly. So
silly. Sports fans don't move to different cities and root for different teams. That's not how it normally works.
Sports fans don't have the access that I had. I was in the locker room every day with the Astros.
All right, then tell that story.
And I did their post-game, pre- and post-game show. So when they played the White Sox in the World Series, the team that I grew up loving, I said, what am I going to root for? The uniforms over there or the guys that I know in the locker room?
Lance,
that's stupid.
If you move to, let's say the NFL Network came calling. Mm-hmm. And you couldn't pass up the opportunity to move to LA.
Okay.
And you know what they had you on? Hey, we want you to cover the Rams. We think you would give them a different type of insight.
Right.
Would you start if the Rams played the Texans in the Super Bowl? Would you root for the Rams?
Let me just say this. That could be my.
Yes.
I mean, that could be an exit.
I know. That's what I'm saying.
It could be an exit strategy from the Bill O'Brien led Texans.
Yes.
Because you get to know them.
Bill O'Brien
if you get to
isn't
know the
guy.
Players
I'm asking
and
Lance.
Like the players,
Lance.
He doesn't
question.
Know because he doesn't know them, Dell.
Well, I'm asking him right now. What does he think? If let's say Bill O'Brien isn't the anchor that he appears to be, and you love your Texans and you feel good about them, are you rooting for the Rams?
I would probably, without knowing, without experiencing it, I would say when I moved to New Orleans, for example, and went to school. Just for a couple of years, I kept my loyalty, obviously, to the Oilers and to the Rockets and obviously to the Astros. Well, actually, the Saints were the only team in town, so it was super, super easy. But I was not a Saints fan by any stretch.
Yeah, and listen, you know what?
I was doing the Astros pre and post, knew all the players. I was the sideline guy for the Texans. Why would I root for a team other than those, Dell? That's stupid.
It's not stupid. That's not how, you know what sports.
That's
you know what
stupid.
You know what sports fandom is stupid because you're rooting for guys you don't know who don't really care about you, but you still want to root for the team. I know sports fandom is dumb, and most sports fans don't switch.
Well, they
they're
don't
always
have the
fans of those
that
teams.
I understand
you are different, but what I'm saying is
that's
it's
why.
Not normal.
That's why.
All.
So you can stop this stupid diatribe of me having all these teams.
You do have a lot of teams.
No, I don't. I have the Houston teams. And you know what? I've done a lot of work with the Rockets as well on their pre- and post-game shows. So I got relationships with the I've had relationships with players, with ownership, with coaches. So that's why.
I tell you what's a whole lot better for a longtime sports talk host is to actually like the local team.
Yes.
I can tell you that.
Yes. Yes, this is not absolutely.
This is not a question about your morality. All I am discussing is the fact that it's not generally people who grew up a place, they don't switch. I know you have a unique
over time you lose your connection to a city.
Yeah, some do, some don't, and that's fine. If you're like the Browns fan here, he's a Browns fan. That's great. That's fine. You know what? Stay your Browns fan. You want to be an idiot and root for the Browns? That's fine. And you should, because that's the team that you love. That's great. I'm not going to question that. But, you know, just picking – I don't understand just pick. Oh, I love the Dallas Cowboys. Oh, I love the Chicago Bulls back in the – like LeBron, the way the Yankees, because they're the best team. That's not – you know what? That's just – that's being a front runner. That's being a front runner. And LeBron is a front runner. And LeBron sucks, too, by the way.
He's actually a pretty good player. I mean, he's really a basketball player.
Yeah, he's okay. He ain't Mike.
I mean, three-time MVP in the finals. He's a pretty good player. That's all I'm
saying. He's okay. He ain't Mike. Okay.
It doesn't have to be Mike to be a really good player. That's all.
No. Oh, somebody said this, and they're absolutely right. Dell is loud this morning. Tell him to shut up. Okay.
Look at John Cherry pick the comments.
Yeah.
And tell that person the EAD. So how about that? We all can say things. We all can say things in it being anonymous. I'm not anonymous. I don't know who you are, but EAD.
Ooh, EAD.
Dang.
Wow. It's easy to be anonymous. Dell has a Twitter handle, @DellV2. That's all. Yeah. You can talk to me directly.
No, he talked to me directly.
I know, and I'm talking to him directly.
Oh, well, he's telling you.
And I'm telling him.
Pipe down. That's what he said. Pipe down.
I'll do that. I'll pipe down from 10 to 11, see how it goes.
NFL could stand to lose billions of dollars if the 2020 season is played out in empty stadiums. Yeah. How much money per game?
So there was talk about $12 billion if they didn't play. How many billions would they lose if, I guess all you're getting is going to be TV money.
Yeah. Well, what else are you going to get? And all the sponsorships and stadiums, all the ticket sales, all the concession sales, all the parking sales.
So this is what the NFL, this is what the NFL said. The NFL, a league that is a smart league, a wise league, and one that listens to science, by the way. They said, hey, we don't put our – this is the exact thing. It said, we're not putting dates on our calendar at this point because I'm looking at this as not date-based, but science and technology-based, said Dr. Alan Sills. We feel there are certain important steps that need to occur with regard to testing, with regard to test availability, and with regard to test reliability, and also our continued evolution of understanding of how to manage exposures. All of these things are continuing to evolve, which is all true, by the way. When we and the Players Association feel that we are at a point of satisfaction with that science, then we'll be ready to move forward. Now, what he did mention was conspiracy theories and how it's a hoax. And I didn't see any of that in there. I saw a lot of technology and science and trying to be safe. This is why the NFL, I think there is a chance that you will have some fans in the stadium. I think baseball, we haven't had enough time. I think baseball is going to have a hard time having fans in the stadium, and I think basketball has no chance of fans in the stadium. I don't think that's true with football, John. I think you could have a situation, but you can't do it all in the lower bowls. So you're going to have to let some of the upper level people, you'll have them sitting, you'll have the club level, and then you'll have the lower bowl. And if you do it that way, you might be able to get 15,000 into the stands and comfortably keep them spread out.
And you're going to have the social distancing police if you try to, if anybody tries to sit together.
Now, what if somebody says you're interrupting my freedoms by not letting me sit with someone else? What if you're interrupting their freedoms?
Well, then you well, obviously you have to relent.
I'm going
to
say this again. Are you allowed to carry weapons into NRG if you do it in a clear, one of those clear purses? Does that give you, are you able to?
Listen, clear purses are that you can't, that is a freedom that you've given up, is a purse that's colored.
I'm surprised no one's run up on NRG Stadium because, I'm sorry, are you taking away my freedom of a purse that conceals?
Mm-hmm. Yes. Trust me, there have been plenty of bitches bitching at that thing. Not bitches.
I've seen it. I've seen it because you got to go back to your car.
I've had to go back to the car because my wife's pocketbook was just a centimeter larger than a hand. Oh, sorry, this is longer than my hand.
Has Frankie ever gone to a Texans game, yes or no?
Frankie has not, no.
Okay, because I was going to ask, did she bring her blade when she went?
She would not bring her blade to the game, no.
Del, were you here when you found out that Frankie had a pocket knife in her back?
No,
pocket.
I wasn't here for that.
Yeah,
she was in Mexico. And she was carrying. She was.
She had a blade. She had a. She had a sticker.
She had a switchblade.
Well, she had a pocket knife. Yeah, it was not really. But she was gonna. She was gonna save everybody if anything went wrong.
And that's why I was asking if she was gonna
94-pound girl.
If she ever tried to bring her blade into the NRG Stadium.
It's 901 ESPN 97.5, 713-780-3776. If you do, you're going to need some insurance.
TJS Insurance is the company that is taking care of all of your homeowners' insurance needs. And with homeowners' insurance, what you have, and this is actually a pretty well-known thing in the industry, is you have companies who will look for underwriters. And this is underwriters of insurance that are not your standard big brand name companies. Well, the brand name companies spend a bunch of money on your TV ads, this, that, and the other, and then they're gonna make it back from you. What TGS Insurance does is they say, look, text us at 232323. Send the word money to 232323. You'll get an instant text back asking for your address. You give your address, and we'll have a firm quote back to you within 15 seconds. It's never been easier to take a look at your current homeowner's policy and payment and take a look at what it is for, what it is for, what it's going to be, I should say, and what the savings are going to be. The average savings are in the neighborhood of $900 annually, but there are people who save in the $2,000 range. That happens all the time. You have some savings that are lower. You have some savings that are higher. Now is your opportunity to get that savings with a great company like TGSinsurance.com. Send it to money to 232323. You can check out their online reviews. There's like 1,000 reviews with nearly perfect scores. That's a company you can trust. Text money to 232323 and start saving today.
ESPN 97.5.